Well, we come now to the last chapter, chapter 16 of Mark's Gospel, a very remarkable Gospel. As I think you will agree if you have been following our narrative week after week. But when the Sabbath was passed, then we find that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, had bought sweet spices that they may come and anoint the body of Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And then they said, well, who is going to roll this stone away from the door of the sepulchre? And let me just explain that the sepulchre was carved out of stone, rock, and then there was a little gully there, which the stone of the door rolled down and covered the door. Well, no woman or group of women could possibly move that. And so they were they knew that that stone was very great. And then as they came to the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were scared. And this was an angel. You see, an angel had been sent to remove the stone so that Jesus might come out. And he said, well, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And that little phrase, you know, I think is so wonderful. He is risen. He is not here. You know, I had an experience in several situations doing funerals and looking at the casket of the loved one and making this declaration, he is not here, he is risen, he is risen. You see, for the Christian, as for Christ, when we die, we do not remain in our body, but we go up, we're risen. And that is, shall I say, one of the joys, one of the comforts of the Christian life, that we can declare the casket of a loved one. Oh, he's not here. He's risen. He's with the Lord. And you know, I want you to have that assurance that when you die, you know, the minister will be able to say that of you. He's always not here. He's risen. But if you know not Christ, where are you? You're down below. And that's what I don't want you to go to. Don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. Well, we come back to our narrative. And then the angel is saying to the women, go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. You know, this was so important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Peter had denied him, you know, Jesus wanted to make it very clear in John's Gospel, chapter 14, that after he had said to Peter, you're going to deny him. But he said, don't worry, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know how concerned Jesus is. He knows who will fail at times. And there he is to encourage us. And look at you see. Tell his disciples and Peter. Make sure Peter hears. And he's going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. Galilee was his home, shall I say, country. And he'd done most of his miracles there. And so after he had ascended, that's where he wanted to be. And that's where he was going to meet his disciples. And the women went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. You know, having seen the angel and unaccustomed perhaps to seeing angels, they were trembling. And also on the first day of the week, when Jesus was risen, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. You know, I think this is so wonderful. Part of the Christian message is restoration. And this woman had gone deep into sin, and because of her sinfulness, well, one devil after another had come into her. And Jesus had ministered to her and cast out these devils. And he loved her very much. And she is the first one to whom he reveals himself. Yes, the message of restoration is one of the great messages of the Christian gospel. And perhaps, you know, you have said, well, you know, I once walked with the Lord, or perhaps you didn't even walk with the Lord when you were young, and you went into all kinds of sin. And you say, is there any hope for me? Yes, there is. Think of Mary Magdalene. Jesus cast out these devils, and he loved her. And she was the first one that he appeared to. So be of good comfort. You know, it doesn't matter how low you've gone. You know, Jesus is there to lift you up and place you on a higher plane. And surely, look at this. Mary Magdalene was the one that he appeared to first of all. And she went and told them that it'd be with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and seen of her, they believed not. You know, there you are. You know, the most joyous news of all, they rejected it. But we know from the other Gospels that Peter and John ran towards the tomb. And Peter outran John and got to the tomb first and saw that the body of Christ was not there. So there we are. You know, sometimes the news seems too good for us to be able to believe it. But praise the Lord. You know, let us, you know, be grounded in the Word of God. Let us believe what God says to us through his Word. You know, we might be praying and asking God for something. And then God will speak to us. And it seems at times too good to believe. No, hold on to what God says to you. Because what he says, he will surely do. And Jesus had indeed told the disciples, look, he said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified. And he said, after 3 days and three nights, you know, as Jonas was on the belly of the whale for those times, he said, I will be. And he said, after that, I will meet you in Galilee. He had told them that, but it had not sunk in. It had not sunk in. Well, Let us consider this. After he appeared to another, in another form, to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Well, Luke speaks of this too, and he gives it in more detail. And there's two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then Jesus comes up and, would almost overtake them, and they were so sorrowful. And he said, well, why are you so sorrowful? And they said, well, are you a stranger here? Have you not heard? He said, well, what am I to hear? They said, well, Jesus of Nazareth, our rulers indeed crucified him. And yet we had hoped that he would be our savior to deliver us. And then he said, well, have you not read the scriptures? That Christ must suffer and must die in order to fulfill his mission to be the savior of the world. And he opened up the scriptures, the Old Testament onwards, and expounded this truth to them. And then they ate together. And then he left. And they said, did not our hearts warm as he spoke to us? And is that not true, that when the Lord ministers to us and speaks to us, how our hearts are warmed by the truth that he gives? Well, then he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know, one of those at one time was Thomas. And the other said, we have seen the Lord. He said, unless I can put my hand in his wounds and my hand in his side where the spear has been, I shall not believe. Well, later on, the Lord appears again. And this time he said, Thomas, come, touch me. Here are my hands, and here is the wound in my side. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus made this comment. He said, you know, blessed is the man who has not seen and yet believes. And so there's a greater blessing on someone who believes when they're told, and someone who has to see the actual event in order to believe. Well, there we are. Now, he says in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, look, verse 16 is very clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, I want to make it very clear to you that this life that we're living at the moment is a probationary life. You know, those in heaven speak of this life on earth as being one of probation, where we are given opportunities to do good. We're given opportunities to receive Christ as our Savior. But as, you know, this verse makes it very clear that if we believe not, we shall be damned. There are two places, and only two places, where we can go after death. One is heaven above, and the other is hell below. There is no other place. And here it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell below. And hell is a very real place. Jesus was consistently speaking of hell in his messages. Consistently speaking of fire and brimstone. Consistently speaking of darkness forever. Oh, Jesus knew the truth that there's only two places. And you must be persuaded, dear one, there are only two places. Heaven above, hell beneath. And here it is. Who goes to which place? Well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, you don't want to be damned. You know, the thing that troubles me so often is this. That these judgments are eternal. It's not just for a few years and that's the end of the matter. Oh, no. We are eternal. If there's eternal life, there's eternal damnation. And eternal means eternal. And you know, I've seen and heard of testimonies of people being put into hell and the iron gates behind them closing. It's the end. It's the end. It's the end. It is the end. There is no hope for those in hell. Well, we continue. And now he's picking up verse 17, the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, our responsibility is to be witnesses. He said, ye are my witnesses. You know, the fact that we have received Christ as our Savior makes us a Christian and a witness, and we have the responsibility of preaching the gospel, not necessarily from the pulpit, but nonetheless by our lives and indeed in our conversation. And here are the promises. Signs shall follow them that believe. In thy name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, I want to speak uniquely to Christians just at this moment, because unfortunately some denominations challenge the last verses in Mark's gospel. And the reason they challenge the last verses in Mark's gospel is simply because of this little phrase, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and indeed the disciples spoke with new tongues. Nobody challenges that, it's a fact, you see. But that which many people challenge is the fact that today you can speak with new tongues. And I do. And I thank God for the experience. And it's a refreshing. But, you know, as with everything else, in the New Testament, there is the Old Testament prophecy concerning it. And the Old Testament prophecy concerning these blessings is very clear indeed. And in Isaiah 28, it speaks with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And then he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. And so many of God's dear people will not hear the message of speaking in other tongues. And yet it is a sign of those who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't generally do this, but in closing, I want to bring a theological argument to the fact that Mark's gospel is a complete gospel, and these verses here flow in with the rest of Mark's gospel. I want to say this, that in actuality, the Word of God is so well written, and it's written in the New Testament in Greek. And in Greek, there are the Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, and so forth. And they have a number that corresponds to that letter. So therefore, we can study God's Word and know of a certainty how it is authentic by the very mathematical makeup of the sentences. And in Mark 16, verses 9 to 20, only God could write in this form. A man had to be inspired by God, and Mark was inspired by God. And I'd just like to read some of the mathematics of Mark 16 and verses 9 to 20 to show that no man could have written these verses, only God. And I'd just like to give a few quotes, and they're in my book, The Gospel of Mark, and if you write to the station that you're listening to, they'll forward the letter to us and we can get you a copy. Here we are. There are 175 words in this passage, which is 25 times 7. Now, 7 is a number of completeness, and all these 7s, verses 9 to 11, a separate division, has 35 words, which is 5 times 7. Verses 12 to 18 have 105, 15 times 7. The last two verses, 19 to 20, have 35, 5 times 7. The number of forms is 133, the sum is 7, 19 times 7. Oh, I could go on. There are 98 vocabulary words, 14 times 7. The number of letters, 553, 79 times 7. Number of vowels, 294, 42 times 7. Oh, the vocabulary words Christ used are 42, which is 6 times 7. And the balance of vocabulary words is 56, 8 times 7. You know, no one could possibly write that except the Holy Spirit inspiring a man. Therefore, I would like to encourage you, you know, don't denigrate the Word of God. You will appear so sorry when you have to stand before the Lord and you will have to answer for why you rejected these verses in Mark 16. Well, he goes on to say, you should take up serpents, and they should drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know, there was a friend of mine, and he was in a certain town, and the town were trying, there were some evil people there, they were trying to kill him. And they gave him a drink of deadly poison. He drank it, and they expected him to fall down dead. No, he did not, because God protected him. But they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so, there we are. Oh, why not enjoy the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ here on earth? And then, in verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them,
He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And that's where he is today. And he can say in other gospels, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And therefore we need to call upon the name of Jesus, because in his name there is all power. And I trust that this gospel of Mark has been a blessing to you. And I would like to invite you, if you wish to, write into the station and ask for the Gospel of Mark, and they'll forward it to our publishing department. I want you to be filled with the gospel of good news, so that you in turn can be like Mark and be enthusiastic in declaring Jesus saves. Don't forget, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. May God grant that you be a believer and go to heaven. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you.